destroyed and prevented from ever arising to bring to them the deplorable results such as are manifested in the present war. God will not interfere by his mere fiat to cause the one side or the other of those who are engaged in this war of bloodshed and carnage to become victorious. The law of compensation must work, and as the leaders of the respective nations have sown, so must the nations reap, and in this the innocent must suffer in this reaping, because as conditions are, the law could not work its fulfillment unless all within the scope of its workings should feel its operation. But the Father and the hosts of his angels and the spirits of men are working to bring this terrible catastrophe to an end. You have written long, and it is late, so I will postpone the further consideration of the subject to another time. Believe that I am with you and love you and will sustain you in your desires to do my work. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. You have received quite a wonderful message from the Master tonight, and it will cause some surprise, no doubt, to many who believe that God confers a special dispensation for every prayer, irrespective of the workings of his laws. But the Master has clearly shown that this belief is erroneous, and that man himself can prevent God from answering prayer. I do not mean that it will not be possible for him to do so, if he should choose to exercise his power, but that man by his own will and deeds places himself in such a condition that God would have to violate his own laws to make a response in accordance with the prayers of men, which he will not do. I know that you will find the message very interesting, but not so much so as what will follow, for the one places man in the condition of having to depend on himself without expectation of the Father's help, and the other will show that the Father is not only willing and ready to help men in their distress, but also the way in which he will help, and the absolute certainty of that help being given. Your own true and loving, Helen. I am here, Elias, Elijah, prophet of old. I will write a short message tonight, as it is late and you are tired. Well, I desire to say that the message you received from the Master contains some of the most important truths affecting the relationship of God to man in his worldly or material living. Every truth that was uttered has in it an element which shows that man to a certain extent must expect and know that God will not interfere with the law of compensation as to its effects and results. Only will he help man to remove the causes that so certainly entail the results. And the sooner men know this and more thoroughly understand it, will they become able to avoid the consequences of sin and the violation of law, and also understand that no prayer will cause God to respond, where a suspension or setting aside of his laws or their workings are necessary. He will respond to prayer, where that prayer asks the removal of causes, but never when it applies only to effects. This truth men should learn, and in their prayers ask that those things or causes which in compliance with the law of compensation bring about results that are harmful to them be removed, or eliminated from their acts and deeds as well as from their desires. I could write a long message on this subject, but will not do. 483, The Paget Messages, 1916. So now, as you are not just in condition to receive it, I will come soon and write at length. So with my love I will say, good night. Your brother in Christ, Elias. December 28, 1916. I am here, the father of Leslie. I desire to write a few lines to my son, as I see that he is in a condition that makes any communication from us very desirable to him. I want to tell him that I am very happy and am progressing very rapidly, and will soon, I hope, be with his mother when my happiness will be complete, for my love for her is so very great that I am happy beyond desire when I am with her. This is a reality, and I know, for I am with her at times, and feel the certainty of the truth of what I say. She is very happy also, and so are his sisters, who are here now, and who are with him so often, and who would like to come in closer contact with his brothers and sisters of earth, if they would only believe that their spirit sisters so desire to make their presence felt. But their want of belief and of desire to have their spirit sisters with them prevent a rapport being made, which is necessary for the enjoyment of the close communion that I speak of. Tell my son that I enjoyed his visit a few nights ago and was sorry when he had to return to his body. We were all there and talked with him, and made him realize what beautiful homes we have, and the wonderful happiness that is ours. This is not mere imagination, or tale of magic, for he was actually with us, and saw and felt our spirit bodies and also experienced the atmosphere of love that he ran into. Of course his soulmate had him most of the time of his visit to herself, but she was very generous and told us to enjoy his presence to our heart's content, but, of course, we understood and withdrew. I imagined that he may not quite believe all that he saw, but I want to assure him, with all the love of a father, that it is a fact, and that sometime I hope he may have a recollection of some of his experiences, and I know that he will. Well, I must not write more now, except to say, that he must continue to pray and believe in the divine love of the Father, for I can assure him that it is the one grand thing that makes angels of spirits, and soon I hope to be one of the angels, as his mother now. So with my love I will say good night, William Stone. I am here, Judge Sirik. Well, my friend, how are you this Christmas time and how is the doctor? Of course I know full well, but I adopt the old earth way of greeting you both. It has been some time since I wrote you or had the pleasure of talking to you at Mrs. Ripple's, and I am glad of the opportunity to now say a few words. Well, when I think of all the things that have happened since I left the mortal life and you two friends, I can scarcely comprehend what it all means. Here, I am a spirit who has found the love of the Father to a small extent, and enjoys the heavens which I used to wonder what it was like, and the company of a dear girl that I used to talk to you about as if I really knew her, and I did really believe in her existence, as my Rose. And you two who have found this love that you used to tell me about and I didn't understand what you meant. You have your soulmates just as truly as I have mine, although the doctor has never seen his, at least with his mortal eyes. But I want to say, right here, with all the sincerity of old friendship, that your soulmates are just as real as is mine, and are with you just as certainly as mine is with me. As your friend, I think it is my duty as well as pleasure, to assure you as a witness bound to you by the bonds of the divine love, that both Helen and Mary are the spirits in all communications that they have written you of. Well, I can hardly realize that all this is true, but I don't have to prick myself to feel that I am not dreaming, and I am glad for your sakes as well as for mine. I happened to be present a few nights ago when your two soulmates came sailing, as you might say, with the spirits of you two into our spirit sphere. And I must confess that I was surprised, for I did not dream that such a thing could be. And you were there, and I shook hands with you and greeted you and twitted you on being in possession of two such spirits as were they, and told you that they would never let you return to Earth, and you said you were glad of it. Now seriously, this is not a fairy tale, and I assure you in all truth that it is a fact. I, of course, did not stay with you very long, but you both expressed surprise that I should be such a handsome spirit, and I said I would return the compliment. Well, there are stranger things in heaven and earth than men dream of in their philosophies, and I know that this experience of yours is not among the least strange. I am very happy now, and am progressing all the time, and I must tell you that you may, at times, 484, the Paget Messages 1916. Experience some of this soul happiness, but when you come over you will find such happiness very faint in comparison with what you will then enjoy. I must not write further now and will close, but in doing so must congratulate you on the great privilege you have enjoying the presence of your soulmates, and other spirit friends in this heaven of bliss, and while you are mortals. So with my love, and Rose says hers too, I will say good night. Your old friend, Frank D. Sirik. I am here, the spirit of your old friend, General Henkel. I merely want to say that I have been present all evening and heard your reading of the messages and the conversation, and must say that some things that I heard surprised me. For instance, the assertion that your spirit was taken from your body, and brought to the spirit spheres, and there enjoyed the freedom of a spirit that had left the earth forever. This I have never heard of before, and cannot conceive that such a thing can be, and if it were not for the fact that your wife and a number of other spirits who are filled with love and truth tell me that it is true, I should doubt the fact. It is also wonderful to me that but for the experience that I had when I came to the spirit world, and found so many things that I thought true were not true, I should even yet hesitate to believe. How little we spirits know of the wonders of God, and how much there is to us to learn. And the one thing that even yet makes me marvel is that all these wonderful things, I mean the power of communication and the truths that you receive, should have come to you, who when I was on earth was merely a man like the rest of us with no knowledge of these things. But I have had so many surprises and experiences that I am ready to believe most anything that these high and beautiful spirits tell me. The greatest truth of all, the existence of the divine love and its effect upon the souls of men and spirits, I know to be a truth, for I have had it come into my soul and transform my condition of darkness into light and happiness. Since I last wrote you, I have made much progress and am now in the third sphere, where I find so much bliss, and so many beautiful spirits, who possess this love and tell me of the beautiful and wonderful things that you did for them. Well, my dear friend, it does me good to write you and tell you of my progress, and the certainty of the existence of the great love. 485. I have met many of my old friends and brother lawyers in this spirit world, and some of them have found this soul development, but the most of them, I am sorry to say, have not, and are still trying to develop their intellects, especially in the way of spiritual laws, which, they think, is the most important thing to learn. And my work is to try to convince them of the greater importance of the divine love, and to show them the necessity or prayer. The work is laborious and somewhat disheartening, but it is mine to do, and I will continue in the work until I am told to go to a higher sphere. I would like to write longer tonight and tell you of the experiences of some of my friends, but your wife says that I must not do so, and so I will say good night, and leave you my love, and also your friend, although I have never met him on earth. But realize that he is a kindred spirit, that the Father has blessed him also with some of this great love, Saulus Henkel. December 29, 1916. I am here, John. Let me write a line. I was with you tonight and heard the sermon of the preacher on the second coming of Jesus, and by it you were convinced of the continued revelation of the truths that you are receiving. How very much mistaken this preacher is in his beliefs, and how disappointed he will be when he comes to not only realize the truths, but also the knowledge that while living on earth Jesus had already come the second time, and that he, the preacher, might have had the benefit of that coming if he had not permitted his orthodox beliefs to prevent the truth from entering his mind and soul. Well, I would like tonight to write on this subject, but I do not consider it advisable to do so. I promised you a short time ago that I would write on this subject in detail, and so I will very soon, if I can make the proper rapport. Your condition is much better than it has been for some time, and if you will continue to pray and let your longings go to the Father as you have done today, you will soon be in that condition that will enable us to make the rapport so that we can communicate our deep spiritual truths. Try with all your determination and effort to get in this condition and you will not fail. There are other messages, as you know, that I desire to write, and their delivery depends only on you. I will not write more now. With my love and the Paget messages 1916, prayers, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. December 31, 1916. I am here, Helen. Well, we are here in great numbers and all wish you and the doctor a very happy new year, and one that will bring to you not only prosperity and happiness in your material affairs, but also a great and abundant inflowing of the divine love of the Father, which will bring you a happiness that no earthly prosperity can possibly bring. We were with you tonight at their New Year's Eve church services and tried to throw around you our influence of love and peace, the peace that passes all understanding, and when this peace came to you as it did to a degree, we all rejoiced. The Master was present, for there were many souls there that were longing for this love, although they associated it with Jesus in the way that they believed it came from him as the fountainhead, but notwithstanding this error, their souls were right and the Holy Spirit responded, and the love was present and the many a worshipper felt its influence. I suppose that you and the doctor would like to know who were present, and I should like to tell you, but to do so would require more paper and more time than you have at your disposal tonight. But this I will say, that in addition to the Master there were present your special guardians, I mean John and James, and also Mary and the doctor's parents and sisters, and your parents and of course myself. We all felt that as this is the night that brings into your lives a new year, with the great possibilities that will be yours, we should become a little human and bring to you our love and wishes, and the fact that there are surrounding you the spirits of those who once loved you so much when they lived on earth and had nothing more than faith. Now they come to you with knowledge, and with some of them the knowledge that they are angels, and redeemed children of the Father, and inhabitants of his celestial kingdom, the kingdom which Jesus has been and is establishing for the eternal homes of all who may receive the new birth. If you could have seen all the glorious spirits that were present, and the love and beauty that surrounded you, you would have thanked God with all the powers of your soul that you were so blessed, and we all said and prayed to the Father, God bless you, and what it meant only we knew, though you could receive its benefits. 486. Well, I am happy, and Mary is happy, and all the spirits who love you so much are happy. What a blessed thing the love of the Father is. As the preacher said, this love makes your soul a new thing, not as a new creation only, but in the important element of being new in quality and consistency. I hope that you may continue to increase in your realization of the abundance of this love that will surely be yours, if you continue to pray to the Father in earnest and longing desire. I will not write more tonight except to say that Mary wants to tell the doctor that as the hours go by she feels that she is getting closer and closer to him in the holy love that is theirs, and that can never be taken from them. She is anxious that he feel this growing love and increased rapport, and that someday she may become as real to him in his conscious recollections, as he is to her. So repeating our wish that you both may have a happy new year, with increasing love and joy as the year grows older, I will say with all my heart's love, good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. The Paget Messages, 1917 January 2, 1917. I am here, Jesus. I have been present as you read the article on Christian Science and was interested in your comments, and am pleased to assure you that your annotations were correct, and that in the particulars that you criticized the statements of the writer the same were erroneous and not in accord with the spiritual laws of truth and the understanding thereof. Sometime I will come and write you a message at some length on the doctrines of Christian Science, for the reason that I think a correction of the claims of this cult is very important. The doctrines that it proclaims to the world contain many truths and are beneficial to mankind, and are doing much good, both spiritually and physically, but some of the claims are so much in violation of the truth that they must not be permitted to pass as truths uncontradicted. The founder of this science or discovery, as her writings and followers claim, is here now, and deplores the fact that she left to the world so many false and misconceived concepts of the truth that so many persons believe and teach. She is a spirit of much soul development, and is in possession of much of the divine love, which she did not conceive the meaning of by her carnal mind, as she called it, and was not therefore able to teach what this divine love is, and its operations upon the souls of men, and the effect of its presence in such souls. She never conceived any higher ideal for man than the perfect man, one who should become wholly delivered from the sins and errors which all men have to a more or less extent. And her teachings that sin and error and disease are not things of reality, because God did not create them, are all wrong, for they have a reality that not only makes men unhappy and causes them suffering in the mortal life, but also prevents their progress towards her ideal of the perfect man in the spirit world. God only is good, and everything that he created is necessarily good, and cannot contain that which is evil or in conflict with his creations. But, as we have explained to you, while he created man perfect, knowing only good, yet he bestowed upon 487, him that great power of free will, and after his disobedience, he exercised it in such a way that he violated the laws of his being, and sin and error resulted. This made man the creator of evil. Mrs. Eddy will write you very soon on the subject of her science, as she is very anxious to remedy the errors that she taught, and we have determined that it is advisable that she do so, on account both of her followers and her own account, for her work here and so far as possible in the mortal world, is to unteach, as it were, the errors that she taught. I expected to write my message, or rather finish the message which I partly wrote a few nights ago, but you are not just in condition to receive it, and I prefer waiting until you feel better in this respect. I am glad that you are so much interested in that message, and when you receive it, I don't think that you will be disappointed, for as you say, the subject is the one fundamental truth to be made known to mortals. I will deal with it in all its phases, and you must try to get in the best possible condition to receive it. Well, I do not think that that will be necessary, for there will be such powers present, that the presence of any mortal and the favorable influences that he may attract will not afford any assistance to you. You must know that I have greater power than all the other spirits have, and when I come to you the assistance of the powers of any other spirit is not needed. If you will only get your soul in the best condition possible, so that I can make the proper rapport, nothing else will be needed. I will not write more tonight. I love you very much and am with you quite frequently, throwing around you my love and influence, and trying to help you develop your soul condition and become in greater atonement with the Father. Yes, I have kept my promises, and when you call for me to come with you and pray, I come, and send up my earnest supplications in your behalf, and I know that the Father answers my prayers, not only because of the faith that I have, but because I can see the effect in your soul's condition. The Paget Messages 1917. Well, you must not think that I am God or one of the Godhead, for as I have told you, I am only His Son, and the possessor of so much of His divine love that I get very close to Him, and have communion. I have my home in the highest heaven, that the spirit of man has not yet so far reached, but, notwithstanding, I am not of so exalted a condition, or in such position, that I do not come to you in love and sympathy and as your elder brother. In my exaltation, I am most humble, and I must tell you that humility is a certain and eternal accompaniment of great spiritual and soul development. And because I am the highest of the Father's sons, you must not doubt that I come to you, and deliver my messages and pray for you and throw around you my love and influence. I have explained to you the great reason why I am doing this, and this reason is one that involves the salvation and good of all mankind, and you. I will tell you now that you are engaged and made a co-worker with me, and the spirits who write you, in the greatest work that any spirit or man can engage in. And I want further to say, that you will accomplish the work, and successfully, and when the time comes for you to lay down this work and come to the spirit world, your reward will be beyond all conception, and your happiness will be complete. I see that you have in your mind the thought as to what will be the future of your two friends. Well, they will perform their work and it will be a great and important work, that it will bring them reward similar to the one that is in store for you, and this reward is not the result of any special dispensation of the Father, but is the result of the work and the associations and experience that you all will have in doing and completing the tasks that are before you. You, and they too, and now doing a work which is laying up rewards in the spirit world for you when you come over, and not only that, but you are now experiencing some of the benefits that flow from your work. Continue in the efforts that you are making to show spirits and mortals the way to the Father's love and my kingdom, and you will find a wonderful reflex happiness come to you while you are yet mortals. If you men could realize the love and spiritual influences, and the number of highly developed spirits that are with you so often, and the efforts the latter make to help you and bring happiness to you, you would feel that you are the truly blessed of the Father. Well, I must stop now. Remember what I have said and believe that I am, your brother and friend, Jesus. 488. I am here, your own true and loving, Helen. Oh, my dear, how glad I am that the Master wrote to you as he did. And if you only could have seen him as he told you of his love for you and the great happiness that will be yours when you shall have finished your work, you would have been thrilled as well as very happy. He seemed to be full of love and glory, and so anxious that you should fully comprehend what he wrote you. Your own true loving, Helen. January 3, 1917. I am here, Mother Plummer. I am a poor old woman and in darkness and so very disappointed, for I thought when on earth that the blood of Jesus washed away all my sins and that I would go to heaven and rest in his arms and sing hallelujahs around God's throne, but instead I am in darkness and have never seen Jesus or one of the glorious angels, and thank God through the devil hasn't got me. I have never seen him or any of his imps or brimstone and fire. But the spirits, I have seen our devils enough. What does it mean? I was a good Christian as I thought and believed that Jesus died for me and saved me. I do not know what to do. I am not a stranger to you and the doctor, and I remember some things that he told me about the spirit world and spirits, and I have been trying to learn how these things may help me, but yet I do not understand. I know that I am alive and never died, and that I have the same thoughts and try to believe in my church. But how can I? And I am so disappointed and so anxious to find the light. My husband has also come over and he has not changed. He is the same quarrelsome man, although he can hear now. He is so dark and ugly, and it seems to me that he is one of the lost souls that the Bible tells of, but I hope not. He is not living with me but says he is in hell, and I can believe it. Can you help me or tell me anything that will get me out of my darkness? Nate says, Dr. Stone knew all about the spirit world and tried to tell us, and we should have listened to him. But how could I when he told me that Jesus did not die for me and save me from my sins? At this point Mr. Paget would talk to the dark spirits and try to increase their soul perceptions to see the bright spirits that were working with him to help those in darkness. The Paget Messages 1917. Yes, now I see some bright spirits, and one who says that she is Mrs. Stone come to me and says she will help me, and I am going with her. Good night. Mother Plummer, wife of Nathan Plummer. January 4, 1917. I am here, Luke. I will write a few lines tonight on a subject that I desire to make known to you and others, for I know it will be of interest to all who may read it. The subject is the truth of the statement that no man can possibly reach the condition of perfection unless his mental beliefs become in accord with the truth. This perfection, you will understand, is the perfection that man possessed before his fall, that is, the perfection of his creation. It has been asserted by many that the beliefs of a man do not count for much in determining his condition of soul and mind, and that only his acts and deeds and the qualities of his heart determine that condition. But this assertion I declare to be untrue, unless these acts and deeds and qualities of heart are the results of beliefs being in accord with the truth. Belief is the mainspring of man's acts and the result of his thoughts, and thoughts are things that cause the realities of man's consciousness, and as he thinketh in his heart so is he. Thinketh in his heart means or comprehends the idea that the thoughts of his mind, which is the only part of man that has the powers or faculties for thinking, are suggested by, or flow from, the desires and appetites of the emotional part of man. No thought originates itself, although it may seem to be a spontaneous creation, but is the result of some spiritual or physical perception, that is, of the perception of the spiritual qualities or of the sensuous organs of man's physical constitution. And belief is the result of thought and that agency which causes man's acts or want of acts, and hence, the only guide or way shown to man in the progress of the development of his soul in its natural love, or of the mind to the state of perfection that I speak of. Now, belief does not create truth or change truth, for it is absolute and unchangeable, and truth does not create belief unless the truth is comprehended by the thoughts from which emanate the belief. So, it is apparent that unless the belief, if erroneous, changes so that it becomes in accord with the truth, man, the possessor of the belief, can never get into a state of perfection, 489, which can only exist when a man is in a complete condition of harmony with the truth. Belief being the effect of the operations of the mind, unless these operations are in harmony with the truth, the belief cannot possibly cause the development of the man who is possessed of and controlled by that belief, into the perfect man, because every cause has an effect, and that effect must be, necessarily, only such as is the natural and inevitable result of that cause. Out of untruth it is impossible for truth to emanate, and from the perfect can never be constructed, and so it is impossible to develop a perfect love and mind out of an imperfect belief. The law that declares the effect of its operations to bring this result is invariable, and only by the observation of its requirements can the imperfect ever become the perfect. So, therefore, I assert that no man can ever become the perfect man unless his beliefs become in harmony with the truth. As a matter of fact, irrespective of reason, established by my knowledge resulting from observation and experience in the spirit as well as in the mortal world, I declare the same to be a truth. Then how important to man it is to seek for and obtain those beliefs that are in harmony with the truth in order to become as he was originally, the perfect man.